We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. That faithful is who you are. Lord, you are not learning to be faithful because you are faithful. So, Lord, we thank you that every word, every promises you have spoken over our lives, that, Lord, it will come to pass in the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, today we stretch out our hands unto the heavens, Lord, to receive that which you have said. Father, on many occasions we might have been walking with our heads down, but, Lord, today we look up unto you. We know that you are the lifter of our heads, my God. So, Lord, we receive today in the name of Jesus. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Father, even as your word is ministered, Lord, may you increase even as we decrease in this place. Lord, even as we were praying, Lord, we have welcomed you in this place. And Holy Spirit, we want to acknowledge that you are here. So Father, have your way. Let your will alone be done here on the earth as it is in heaven. In the mighty, precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 God is good. And all the time. Hallelujah. A big welcome to you this morning. If it is your first time or second time joining us, a welcome to you as well. If we have not seen you in a while here in the building, a big welcome to you. And if you that are watching us online, we want to extend the welcome to you and encourage you to come and join us. Come and join us. So we're here in the building. We are still observing the social distancing rules. We're not breaking it. So come and join us. Amen. Hallelujah. See, when we were, you know, when we're singing praise and worship, we're singing, you know, kumama, 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 eyawe, kumama, then it went, luwa, luwa. See, I was waiting for Cynthia to encourage us to become undignified. See, I was ready to remove my jacket and become undignified. You know, you can't not be singing that song and just leave it there. You have to take it somewhere else. So, amen, you know, I was ready for that. I was ready, but you know what? But I kept my jacket on, so I behaved. A big thank you to the elders and the pastoral team of the church for giving me this opportunity to stand here and minister to you today. It is a pleasure and a privilege. So, thank you very much for honoring me like this. Amen. A little girl was sitting down whilst watching her mom wash the dishes on the sink. So she's just watching her mom as her mom was washing these dishes. And then whilst watching her mom, she observed that her mom actually had some, you know, some strands of gray hair. She was like, "Mom, can I ask you a question?" And mom was like, "Yes, of course you can. Mom, how is it that you've got gray hairs, white hairs," she called it, "white hairs?" And the mom was like, "Well, you see, sweetheart, these white hairs, see, every time you do something wrong and every time you stress me out and make me cry, you know, I get more white hairs." And the little girl was like, you know, she's really, really contemplated really deep with this, you know, revelation that her mom had just given her. You know, and the more she contemplated, the more, you know, the more sad she became. And then she was like, "Mom, are you going to apologize to grandma?" And then mom was like, "What for?" "Because entire head is gray." Hallelujah. I want to speak to us this morning on the subject overcoming your giants. Overcoming your giants. We'll be looking at this. We'll be looking at 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17 from verse 1 to 49. Overcoming your giants. It's a quite a long text, so I'll just summarize it and we'll dissect it as we go along. You know, for the sake of those, you know, Bible scholars, before I get into trouble, you know, there's some Bible scholars listening to me. There's some Bible scholars watching me. So I have to put this text into context before I get into trouble. So, in 1 Samuel, the author tells us that outlines an encounter of David. So basically, the Israelites asked for a king, and God gave them Saul. You know, the one in the Saul is a king because Saul was above the shoulders, above everyone else in tall and stature. He was handsome, so they wanted to make him as king. God is like, "Okay, that's what you choose," etc., etc. Fast forward, God finally finds a man after his own heart called David. And God tells Prophet Samuel, "Go anoint David." And in verse 16, Samuel anoints David as king. Secretly, by the way. He anoints David and so on. Now, as he anoints David, in chapter 17, where we'll be looking. Now, Israel encounters a very, very big battle. Israel are in war with the Philistines. They've encountered a big battle with Goliath. Now, Israel, history tells us that they are a nation, of wars and battles. They have many experiences in fighting wars. For them to be where they are is because they fought many, many wars. Right? They've been, champions and warlords and this and that. They've been so experienced in fighting wars, but none of them have been experienced in fighting Goliath. They've never encountered such a battle as this. They've never encountered a warrior like Goliath. So, the Bible tells us that because of this, the whole nation comes to a stop. The whole nation literally comes to a stop because there is war. War is happening, right? So, every news outlet you look at, one headline, stay home. Save your life. You missed that. Stay home, not save lives. Stay home, save your lives. Ours was stay home, save lives. But theirs was stay home, save your life. That was the news headlines everywhere you went. Now, because there was shortage of food and supplies, Jesse, David's father, instructs his son David. He says, listen, take this provision, go to the front line and take some of this food to your brothers. Now, David, being obedient, took those provisions and went down there. Now, as he was speaking to his brothers, the Bible tells us that a Philistine, or as we introduce him as a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of his line and taunted the Israelites as he has been doing before. Now, the Bible outlines that whenever Goliath was to come out, the whole Israelite army were scared of him and they trembled in fear and they did what? They ran away. They ran away. Now, what is Goliath, you may ask? Goliath is a situation, right? Goliath is a situation that is extremely terrifying and overwhelming. That's what Goliath is. It's a situation, a large situation that is terrifying, that even at the thought of it, it is overwhelming and terrifies us. It's such a massive situation that it absolutely overwhelms us. It appears larger than life. That even, just the thought of it makes us lose appetite. It makes us lose sleep. It makes us lose our peace. That's Goliath. That's who he is. Now, Goliath comes in different shapes and sizes. Goliath can come in the form of a national crisis. Goliath can come in the form of a relationship. Goliath can come in the form of an illness. Goliath can come in the form of finances. Goliath can come in the form of careers. Goliath comes in all shapes and sizes. Now, this is Goliath. Now, what's frustrating about Goliath is he doesn't just go away. He doesn't just go away. Running away from him does not mean that he will go away. Because guess what? The following day will come and he'll still be there. Goliath does not just go away. That's what's most frustrating about Goliath. Right? Now, the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 16, the Bible says that for 40 days straight, morning and evening, Goliath kept tormenting them. For 40 days, morning and evening, Goliath kept what? He kept tormenting them. He kept tormenting them, morning and evening. Goliath has a strategy. Goliath knows that if he can torment you in the morning, guess what? He has taken care of your entire day. And if he does the same in the evening, he's taken care of your entire night. So there you are, overwhelmed, frustrated, you don't know what to do. Morning comes, you're like, oh my goodness, there we go again. Evening comes, you prepare to go to sleep, but you know that you're not going to sleep. And second of all, if you do get this 30-minute sleep, you don't want your alarm to go off because you don't want to face what's ahead of you, what's waiting for you. That is Goliath. That is Goliath. He doesn't just go away. Goliath has a strategy. What is yours? What is your strategy against Goliath? In Exodus, God practically tells the Israelites, he's like, listen, I've set before you an open door, a door filled with milk and honey. All you have to do is go through that door and possess it. Sounds simple, right? Sounds simple. But standing between the Israelites and their open doors filled with milk and honey was Goliath. So how do we overcome Goliath? How do we overcome this Goliath? Because similarly, God has set before you an open door that no man can shut. And standing between you and this door is Goliath. So how do we overcome Goliath? There are three lessons we can learn from this text today. And the first one is, how can we overcome Goliath? Is by understanding the battle, or by understanding the battle that's before us. Understand the battle that's before you. How can we overcome Goliath? By understanding the battle that's before you. Now, before engaging, know your enemy. The Bible tells us that, you know, as David was talking to his brothers from verse 23, Goliath, listen to the language, Goliath, the Philistine champion. So he's been introduced to us as a champion. Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance. And David heard it. The Bible says David heard it. 24, whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. 26, David finally says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Can you listen to the change of the language? He's introduced to us as a Philistine champion from Gath. In 26, David says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Change in language. See, when the rest of the nation are faced with this problem that no one is able to solve, here comes David, who now perceives this battle from a different perspective. I like to think he perceived this battle from a spiritual perspective. Whereas the entire nation saw a giant that was before them. David says, this is something different. I know how to deal with this kind. I know how to deal with this kind. That's what David says. See, in Genesis 17, thereabouts, God makes a blood covenant with Abraham. He says that your children, or every male children in your house, 8 days old, must be circumcised. This is the covenant. It's a blood covenant. They must be circumcised. When you're in a covenant, you are under a covering. In our day and age, I know it is nothing close, but maybe, you know, it's not, as I want to say contract, but it's not a contract, because a contract can be broken. A covenant cannot be broken because it's a blood covenant. Now, David realized that, hold on a second, whereas everyone has seen giant, David saw is like, this man, he's a mere man. And adding on top of it, he's not just a mere man, he's an uncircumcised man, meaning that he's under no covering, he's under no covenant. He's exposed, he's empty. So he's like, this kind, I know exactly how to deal with this kind. A little while ago, I was having a few trouble with some weeds in our back garden. Now, this weed, I'll try to, whenever it grows so fast, I tell you, it literally grows fast. Whenever it grows, I'll chop it. Well, it grows, I get a lawnmower, I'll mow it down. I even tried going down and stuff like that. It just keeps coming back. It was frustrating. All over the place, all over the garden, stuff like that. Until a friend of mine says, hey, how about you try this weed killer and see what happens? I was like, okay, I've never used a weed killer before. How do you use it? He's like, well, just spray it. Just, sow it. Sow it. And just sow seed. Sow it. And stuff like that. And water your grass and see what happens. I'm like, okay. So these weeds are grown. I didn't even chop them this time around. I just took some of this weed killer. I put it there. Put it there. Put it there. And I turned on my hose. Started spraying the garden and stuff like that. And I left it. First day. Second day. Third day. The weed began to die. Began to die. Began to die until it dried out. Up to this day, those weeds never came back again. See, when we begin to tackle Goliath as he's meant to be tackled, suddenly we begin to see result. If we continue to chop at Goliath, guess what? He'll come back again. But we need to perceive Goliath from a different perspective, from a spiritual perspective, and know that this kind is different. This is the kind when we need to go down on our knees and deal with the root so that it doesn't come back again. That's how we destroyed Goliath. That's how David perceived Goliath. Whereas the rest of the nation, the Bible says, kept running away. They saw a giant that was, 9 foot 9 inches. Has any of us ever seen a person that's 9 foot and 9 inches? I haven't. A giant 9'9", a Philistine champion. But David says, he's an uncircumcised Philistine. Twice in this passage, he uses that word, uncircumcised Philistine, that is preventing God's people from entering the door that God has opened for them. Understand the battle that's before you, before you engage. Number two, how do we overcome our Goliath, the Goliath in our lives? The second lesson we can learn from this text is that we need to take ownership. Take ownership of the battles that's before you. Verse 23 and 24, I'll say it again. When Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled in great fear. Check this out. They did not just flee, but the Bible says they fled in great fear. They were terrified. They fled in great fear. See, what does fear mean? See, fear is an unpleasant emotion that is caused by danger. That's what fear is. It's an unpleasant emotion that is caused by a threat of danger. That is fear. Now, whenever we are faced with Goliaths, we can respond in two ways. Either we take flight or we fight. That's how we can respond to Goliath. Either we take flight or we fight. And it's clear the Bible tells us that the rest of the army, guess what they did? They took flight in fear. In other words, we say they legged it. Oh, no, mate. No, not him, not him. They legged it. Mate, you say what? That man, no chance. Yo, mate, Steve, you got a right good, left hander. Why don't you take him on? Steve is like, no, I'm all right, mate. No, not him. Oh, he's a giant of a beast. He is. I'm a grasshopper before him. I'm all right. Hey, oi, Peter, do you want to take him on? Peter's like, I'm all right, gaffer. I twisted my ankle yesterday, so I'll sit this one out. Thank you very much. Legged it. Absolutely legged it. Except for one teenage boy who went to the king and say, you know what? I can take him down. I can absolutely take him down. The Bible tells us that Eliab, David's older brother, was furious at him. He was so angry. He was like, what are you doing? Who do you think you are? No, just go back and look after those sheep. You are. Get up! David is like, what have I done? Is there not a cause? Why are you so angry at me? What have I done? Is there not a cause? As a matter of fact, you're all legging it. Let me just try. Is there not a cause? Take ownership. Take ownership. The one thing that Eliab, David's older brother, didn't realize is that David was no longer the same. Because at this point, David, his younger brother, had been anointed. So David was operating at a different level. Amen. So Saul brings David, he's like, oi, you're only a teenager. How are you going to tackle this giant? David was like, well, I'm glad you asked. Listen, when looking after my father's sheep, right, my father's flock, right, I would have lions and bears come my way. And when one of the lions would snatch one of the flock, guess what? I would run. The Bible says run. David says, I will run after them. Right? And take the flock back. And when the animal, when the lions and bears would turn against me, I would grab them by the hair. Ooh, this guy is, I would grab them by the hair. And guess what? And kill them. Could it be that the lions and the bears that you have faced in your life has been a preparation for you to bring down Goliath? Could it be? Could it just be that God allowed you to go through that situation so that you can overcome Goliath when the time comes? Could it just be? Could it just be? Think about it. The Bible says in verse 28 of 1 Samuel 17 that as the Philistines moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly.
David ran. He ran. A verb. He ran quickly towards the battle to meet him. He ran. David ran quickly towards the battle to meet him. Listen, let me show you something. Darren, come here. Come here. Come here. Let's. I didn't plan for this. It just came to me this morning. Stand there. Stand there. So for the sake of social distancing, just go back. Go back. For the sake of social distancing, just I want you to stop. I want you to stop here. I'm sure that's 2 meters, right? Right. Darren, run towards me and stop there. Run. Okay. Again. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Darren. Darren, run towards me. Run. 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 Thank you very much. Right. What am I trying to say here? You see, David ran. David, see, I don't know about you, but occasionally when I'm fighting the enemy, what I do is I allow the enemy to run towards me. When the enemy is running towards me, guess what? The enemy already has momentum. Because I see him coming in momentum, I have no choice but to fight and defend myself. If I'm like this, I cannot fight back. Why? Because I've allowed the enemy to gain momentum over me. But the Bible says that as Goliath was going to David, David ran towards him with momentum. The Bible uses, see, my NIV version uses the word ran, which is a verb. A verb is an action word, a doing word, which literally means when you run, it literally means that, right that both your feet, or at least one of your feet is off the ground. That you are not moving at the walking pace, but you are running at the fastest pace. You are going with momentum. Now, this reminds me that as an anointed children of God, maybe it's about time we stop playing defensive mode and start operating in an offensive mode, so that as we go to the enemy, we are approaching the enemy with momentum. We are approaching the enemy with momentum. We are running towards the enemy rather than defending. Could it be just the giant, the Goliath you're fighting in your life right now? God is saying, guess what? Move. Move forward. Move forward. Take a step. Run. The kingdom suffered violence, and the violent take it back by force. When Martha finally moved and opened up the tomb, guess what? Lazarus was raised back to life. When the Israelites decided to run away from Egypt and leave, guess what? The Red Sea's parted. When Peter finally decided to get out of the boat, guess what? He walked on water. Yeah. Could it be that God is saying, move? Yeah. Move. Yeah. In other words, when you move, heaven moves with you. Amen. Move. Move, people of God. Move. Take a step. Move. Go. Advance. Approach a Goliath. Go to them. Don't wait for your Goliath to attack you. Don't give them momentum. Attack them. Attack them. Move. Go. 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 It's a verb. It's a verb. It's a verb. It's a verb. You need to go. You need to move. Finally, how can we overcome Goliath? The second lesson we can learn from this text is that divine strategy doesn't always make sense. Divine strategy does not always make sense to us. The Bible tells us in verse 38, the Bible says, then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword on the tunic and tried walking, but he couldn't because he was not used to it. He was not used to it. See, we're creatures of habit. Human beings, we're creatures of habit. See, by default, we tend to go back to what we know. That's how we do. Does anything come out of Nazareth? Remember that? Does anything good come out of Nazareth? Whereas you and I today, we are waiting for the second coming of the Messiah. The Israelite leaders, the Jewish leaders are still waiting for the first coming. Why? Because they missed it. Why? Because the Messiah, the promise, came the way they did not expect. The promise came out of Nazareth, not as a king. And they're still waiting. They're still waiting. Divine strategy does not always make sense. So David says to Saul, thank you very much. I tried it, but I'm not used to this. I believe heaven has another strategy in place. Heaven knows how to bring down this Goliath, and it's not this way. It's not this way. So the Bible tells us that in verse 40, then Then David picked up five smooth stones from the streams. Five smooth stones from the streams. He picked them up and put them into his shepherd's bag, along with his slingshot. And there he was. He went towards Goliath. Not with an armor. No, or rather, she said, not with a physical armor, but with the strategy that heaven had revealed to him. He went to Goliath. He went. In verse 45, the Bible says, David began to prophesy before killing Goliath. He says, David said to the Philistines, "You are coming against me with swords and spears and javelins, but I come against you in the name, in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head." Ooh, prophecy. He's there prophesying. This is what I'm going to do to you. This very day, I will give the carcasses of the Philistines' army to the birds and to the wild animals, and the whole world will know that it is God in Israel. Oh, listen to this. All those, that's 47, all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. It is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. Yeah. The Bible tells us that as the Philistine was now angry, he tried going towards David. David is like, "I'm not going to wait for you to run towards me. I'm not going to give you that momentum." Yeah. The Bible says that David ran towards him. He ran towards him, taking up one of his stones and a slingshot. He swung it. Home run. Goliath was down. Bible says that he fell face down. Now, when we actually think about it, why would Goliath fall face down if the stone was coming towards him like this? Don't you expect the force to take him backwards? But he fell face down. This is the strategy of heaven. Heaven says move. When you move, heaven moves with you. As David moved and swung, guess what? Heaven moved. What killed Goliath didn't come from the front, but from the back. Move. 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 Maybe God is saying to someone this morning, stop relying on what makes sense to you and trust on heaven's strategy. Maybe you've been fighting Goliath with armors and tunics, and yet Goliath is still tormenting you. Maybe you've been trying to fight Goliath with numbers, yet Goliath is still tormenting you. Maybe you try fighting Goliath with a sword, yet Goliath is still tormenting you. Maybe the Lord is sending you someone today that employ heavenly strategy. My brothers, my sisters, my fathers and mothers, maybe it's time we employ the strategy from heaven. Maybe it's time we stop relying on what makes sense to us and said, you know what? I've tried this and it didn't work. How about I rely on what God has for me? How about I rely on the strategy that heaven has for me? The battle is the Lord's, so that you will know that the Lord does not save by swords or javelins or spears. I will defeat you, Goliath. I will defeat you. I will defeat you. I will attack. I will attack. Father, we thank you. I will attack. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We all have Goliath in our lives. As I said, they all come in different shapes and sizes. Church, I want to encourage even those of you that are watching online, in your room, in your house right now, just open up your mouth to the Lord and say, God, I want to, I want to lay hold of heavenly strategy today. God, I want to advance. I want to advance. As we were singing that He is faithful. Faithfulness is His. All His promises are yes and amen. When God gives you a promise, when God gives you a strategy, know that it's a yes and amen. All you have to do is move. Run, not away, but towards Goliath. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, this morning our hearts respond to your word. Holy Spirit, even as you are in this place today, Lord, Father, you are doing something new. And this we know, Lord. You are doing something new. Father, for far too long we have been deaf to your word. Father, we've been ignoring what you've been saying to us. We've been ignoring the strategy you have been giving us. Lord, today we, your people, we want to respond and say, Father, forgive us for being disobedient. And this morning, Lord, we want to turn our lives around. Father, this morning we refuse to leave this place the same. This morning, Lord, it is our desire, it is our heart's desire, God, to leave this place with the strategy from heaven. Holy Spirit, here we are before you, God. Give us this strategy, Lord. It might not make sense. We might be afraid to employ it, my God. Because, Lord, for far too long, we've been focused on Goliath, the Philistine champion. So, Lord, we think, my God, that what you've given us is not enough. But, Lord, today we want to say that we are employing the strategy from heaven, God. Father, today we refuse to look upon Goliath. As a matter of fact, Lord, we refuse to call him Goliath, Lord. Today we'll call him the uncircumcised Philistine. In the name of Jesus. Father, even as we approach Goliath, Father, we are approaching him not as Goliath, but as an uncircumcised Philistine. And Lord, we know, God, with the strategies from heaven, Lord, we're able to bring him down. So Father, we thank you for the word that you've delivered to us today. For the word that will begin to change our lives, oh God. For the word, my Lord, that will enable us, my God, to enter through the open doors you have set before us, oh God. The doors that Goliath has been so for far too long have been withholding us to enter from, Lord. Today we are bringing down our Goliath in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word, that your word will never return to you void, that it will accomplish that which it is left to accomplish. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. People of God, say amen. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.